Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf, Hayomi Maseches Erech and Daf Lamed. We begin at the Mishnah, which is partway down the Amud here. Back to a fellow who's selling his field. It's the Achuza family farm. Now, come Yovel, right, it's going to go back to him. It reverts back to the former owner. However, he also has the option of buying it back before Yovel. Based on what formula, how much would he pay to get it back? So we take the sale price and we split it according to the years remaining to the Yovel, which is essentially what he bought it for. Okay, so it's 10 years to go. We take that sale price, split into 10. And he pays him on a prorated formula based on how many years have passed since the sale occurred. Okay, so let's say it's 10 years to go, $1,000 sale. 5 years later, pays him $500. And he buys his field back. Now suppose Reuven sold his field to Shimon for $1,000. And then Shimon flipped it to Levi. He resold it for a different amount of money. Reuven comes over to buy back his field. He approaches Levi. So the question is, which price will he be using as the baseline for his buyback option? Is it the price that Shimon paid him? Or is it the price that Levi paid him, which may be different? Says the Mishnah. Machra l'rishon b'mana. Reuven sold his field to Shimon for a mana, 100. U'machra rishon l'shen masayim. Shimon turned around and sold to Levi for 200. So Reuven now is looking to buy back the field based on the 200 formula or based on the 100 formula. The lower amount. Einoy mechashev eloy marishon. So he bases his buyback rate according to the price that the first person paid, which is the lower amount. Shenemar, Pasuk says. Le'isha shemochar loy. Pasuk reads like this. V'chishev eshnim imkorei. So he calculates the years that it was, slated to remain by the buyer until Yovel, and deducts for the years that have passed already since the point of sale, v'heishav esoidev, and he returns the balance, l'isha shemachar loy. L'isha shemachar loy? V'shav l'chuzos, and he's restored to his estate. So it's all based on the original buyer, right? The one who he sold it to. But let's say the second sale was for a lesser amount than the first sale. Mechara l'rishon masayim. Reuven, when he sold it to Shimon, was for 200. Mechara rishon l'sheni b'mana, and Shimon turned around and sold to Levi for 100. In this case, he also gets the better end of the deal, based on the lower amount. Einoy mechashev ela ma'achar. In this case, it's based on the lower sale price, the most recent sale price. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, v'chishev eshnim karei v'chishev esoidev l'ish. Now, I could have just said la'asher machaloi in reference to that first buyer. Why le'ish? That's referring also to the second fellow, le'ish asher b'sech, the one who's currently holding on to the property. So either way, you get the better end of the deal. If it's to your benefit to go according to the first sale, you do that. According to the most recent sale, you do this. Now, how do we know that it's always to your benefit? We'll see that in the Gemara. Continues the Mishnah. This buyback option, the ability for the seller, Reuven, the former owner, to buy back his field, to force the buyer to sell it back to him, that's only if it fits the following criteria. If he suddenly discovered some money, he won the lottery, he got a Yerusha, but you can't, let's say he has a field far away, at a distance from the city, and this one's closer. So he'd rather own this one than that one. He's going to flip it. He's going to exchange it. He's going to sell that one and use the money to buy this one. Or He has an inferior field, and he decided, you know what, I want to buy this one back. Using the money I'll receive for selling the other one. He can't do that. Lo yimkar b'rochayk v'yigal b'karv. You can't sell the further away field and buy this one back. B'roch v'yigal b'yafa, or sell the bad field and use the money to buy the good field. V'lo yilva b'yigal, nor can he borrow to redeem his field. V'lo yigal chatzoy, nor can he buy it back piecemeal. It has to be one single buyback with money that you have, your own money, which you have procured independent of selling other properties. That's with respect to buying back a private field that he sold to a private individual. But Uba Hegdish, suppose he's buying back from a field that he donated to Hegdish. In this case, we don't have all these limitations. Muta Brikulan, he can approach it in any way he wants, part way, borrowed money, etc. Zechaymer behedyot mi behedish. In this instance, we find a chumra, stringency, by ordinary transactions versus hegdish, which is not bound by these limitations. Tana Rabbanan, says the Gemara. Mechara l'rishon b'mana, mechara l'rishon l'shen masai. The first sale to Shimon was for 100, who turned around and sold it to Levi for 200. Menayin shen mechashel l'rishon. How do we know that it's reckoned based on the initial sale price? Tamalem l'isha shem mechaloi. Based on the person that you sold it to, which was Shimon. So you get the lower price. However, Mechara l'rishon masayim, he sold it to Shimon for 200. Mechara l'rishon l'shen manan, Shimon turned around and sold to Levi for 100. So in this case, Menayin shen mechashen elema ashen. How do we know that we calculate based on the second most recent price? Tamalem l'ish. The extra word l'ish is telling you, Asher b'soich, the one who's currently in possession of the field, Rebbe. So according to Rebbe, it's always to the original owner's benefit. Okay, whatever it is, if it's beneficial for him to reckon based on the first buyer, go ahead. Second buyer, go ahead. Rabbi Dostoy ben Yehuda Aymer, he presents this concept slightly differently, and we'll see later what the difference will be between him and the first opinion. He seems to be saying the same thing. So he says like this, Mechara loy b'mana v'ishpicha. So he speaks about the actual value going up. So let's say he sold it to Shimon for 100. V'ishpicha, now it improved. Rashi is me'leha, meaning that it wasn't due to investment and cultivation. It just happened to improve. And now it's worth more. It's worth 200. So how do we know that in fact you only calculate based on the sale price, which is 100? We disregard the added value. So the buyer refunds the seller the change, the leftover, after deducting for the years that the buyer had occupied the field. Okay, so basically, like we said before, he sold for 1,000, 10 years to go. He's been there for 5 years, so only gives him 500. It's based on the amount that he has in his hands, that he got, that he received. So the rate is based on the original sale money, which was merely 100. So it's his benefit, right? Now let's say it's the other way around. Mechara leib masayim. Reuben sold it to Shimon for 200, and it got ruined, it got flooded or whatever. And now it's only worth 100. Do we still stick with the original sale price? No. How do we know that now? Our rate is based on current value, which is a lower amount. So from this pasuk, we can also learn Ha'odif Shebekarka. But the seller refunds him whatever is left over based on the value, the current value of the karka, which is just worth a mana. So bottom line, both opinions seem to be saying that the seller always gets the benefit, always gets the lower amount. Only difference, according to Rebbe, the first opinion, it's based on, he's speaking about buyers. There was one sale, followed by another sale. So it's always going to be the lower sale price that we're going to reckon with. If it was the first buyer buying it for less, we go with him. If the second buyer bought it for less, we go with him. Rabbi Dostoy ben Yehuda is not necessarily speaking about buyers and sellers. He's speaking about value of the property. So it's always based on the lower amount, whether at the time of the sale or at, you know, current time. My Bilai, what's the difference? What's the halakhic difference between both opinions? The ultimate team is saying the same thing, that the seller gets the better deal. As follows, the Yakir, Vizolvi Yakir, Rashi explains. The original sale was for 200. The next sale, so Shimon bought it for 200 from Reuven. He turned around and sold to Levi for 100. So the second sale was for 100, but then, while Levi was in possession, it jumped up. Now it's worth 200. So that will play out the difference here, because according to the first opinion, Rebbe, if it's a choice between this sale price and that sale price, right, the first purchase, second purchase, whichever one is less. So in this case, the second purchase was for 100. That's our formula, irrespective of the fact that it's currently worth 200. We don't care. It's all about what was it sold for. And the fact is, there was one of these sales for 200, for 100. That's what it gets it for. Whereas according to the second opinion, the factors are value. The original value of the field during that first sale, or current value at the time of the buyback. Now in this case, either way, it's 200, because it was worth 200 during that initial sale, and it's also worth 200 now, irrespective of the fact that there was a fluctuation in between. So now he owes him 200. Okay? Says the Gemara. Okay, but in any case, all opinions are working with this lenient approach to the original buyer, seller. You get the benefit, you get the lowest rate. Why? Because, truthfully, you can go the other way, too. You can say, use the same pasuk. L'chumra. For instance, according to Rebbe, he says when you have a choice of whether to go with the first sale price, second sale price, right? Because we have a pasuk which says, go with that, go with this, so we go l'kula, whichever one's less. And go l'chumra too, you can say, look, you have a choice of the matter, go with the one that's higher. So sometimes you go with the first sale price, sometimes the second, depending which one's higher. Instead, Rebbe says, no, go with whichever one is lower. Why? And likewise, according to the second opinion, pasuk is telling us that sometimes it's based on the value at the initial sale time, sometimes current value. So we're choosing to go l'kula, to give them the lower amount. Or perhaps the opposite. Go whichever one's higher, right? Who says to go l'kula? Do l'chum, or perhaps be strict? Give them the higher rate. Not something we would consider. Why? The gomar g'ula g'ulam mevet ifri. We have a gzerus shava. Because regarding buying back a field, it says matzah kadei geula soy, lashon of geula, redemption. And likewise, regarding redeeming the eved ivri, Jew slave, and, you know, getting him out by refunding the owner for his sale, it says geula tieloi, lashon of geula. And we connect it to just like over there. It's based on the lower amount. Likewise over here, vasemenol. How do we know that? Over there, it's reckoned on the lower amount. The sanya, nimkar b'mana. Once again, we have a brisa. There was some sort of change in value. The eved was sold for 100. Vishbiach b'mada mosayim. Now he's worth more. It's up to 200. You'd like to buy him out, right? You'd like to pay the master X amount to set him free. So again, you reckon based on the sale price, prorated according to the years that he was expected to hold him, and and deducting for the years that he already had him, right? So now it's a question of, do we reckon based on the, what's the starting point, 100 or 200? No, 100. It's based on the money paid at the point of sale, which is the lower amount. Suppose it's the other way around. He was sold for 200, now he's only worth 100. He dropped in value, but he's only worth 100. How do we know that we reckon based on the current $100 value? Shenemar kivishana, based on his years, based on what is worth now. When you're reckoning the years, when you're reckoning, you know, veinu la eved ivri. So we know that an eved ivri will be, you know, released based on this formula, the lower amount. Only by eved ivri that was sold to a guy. So he has a non-Jewish master. So that's the formula. Shenigal v'yadol yani, you can redeem it based on your, you know, formula, which gives you the upper hand. Perhaps you have control over the guy, so that's the way you do it. Nimkal Yisrael Manai. What about if he sold to a Yid, a Jewish master? How do we know that the formula is based on the lower amount? Minayin tam lema sachar sachar. Gzera Shava. In both places it says sachar, sold to a guy, sold to a Yid, so we connect Gzera Shava. Then in both instances we apply the lower rate. And by extension, it also applies to buying back a Ste'achuzah based on the other Gzera Shava, Gula Gula. Amar Abaye. Any questions? Amar Abaye. Hareini ke Ben Azai v'shuket fer v'tvint amet beis. So Ben Azai was known for his great mind and Darshan. Rashi says a Baki, an expert in all matters, and he would invite questions. Bishuki Tver, in the streets of Tver, you would say, look, anybody has any questions? Abaye says, I'm ready for that too. Any questions? Amalei Haum Rabbana. Labai. So a certain Chacham took up the challenge. He says to Abaye, I have a question. You know, how do we know that by the Eved, we let him go based on the lower rate? So it's sort of a chain here, right? Ste'achuz is based on the low rate due to its connection to Eved. But how do we know that an Eved will be set free based on the low rate? So, yeah, one pasuk says based on the sale value. One pasuk says based on current value. So you're choosing to go to Kula. Whichever one is less, maybe the opposite. Whichever one is more, you could take a lekula, you could take a lechumra. We might the lekula. Who says to go the easy route? Aim a lechumra. Perhaps go the strict route. Lo yisalkadach. No, you can't suggest that. Why? Because we find that Hashem, that the Torah has special compassion on the eved, as we want to see. You have to treat him with respect, accommodate his needs. We assume. Likewise, in terms of determining his buyback, you know, price, we come down easy on him and make it more doable. Since we find that the Torah was lenient on him, the sign is we find the price. He bought an Eved Ivri. He has to have it good as you. You have to share your goods with him. Share your food, share your drink, share your accommodations. Imcha means b'macha, with your food. Imcha b'mishta, to join you in your drinking. Shlo tehei oichel pas nekia. You can't have, you know, high quality clean bread. Oichel pas kibur, he's eating, you know, brand bread. Ata shoysi yain yosh, and you're drinking aged wine, high quality wine. Shoysi yain chadash, he's drinking fresh wine, which isn't as good. Ata yosh nagabi muchen, you're sleeping on, you know, soft, you know, material mattress, but Yeshnal Gabakak, and you put him to sleep on the floor? No way. Mikan Omer, based on this pasuk the Chachamim taught us, Hakoine Eved Ivri. When one purchases an Eved Ivri, you think you're buying a slave? No, you're buying a master. Kikoine Odin Latzme. You have to take care of him and accommodate his needs to the T. So the fact that we see that Torah was very concerned about his accommodations tells us something about how the Torah treats the Eved Ivri. Look, he's having a hard enough time. He has to sell himself as an Eved out of desperation. Take care of him properly and facilitate his release. And therefore, we take the low route in terms of determining the buyback rate. Says the Gemara, Adrabah, if anything, just the opposite. The fact that he's resorting to selling himself indicates that he's not really doing too well spiritually. He needs this experience to purify him, to cleanse him, to give him kapara. Don't make it easy on him. Allow him to have his difficulties, to have his kapara. Adrabah, Nachmar Aleh, let's come down hard on him. Midi Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina. The Omar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina. Boyre, come have a look. Kama kosha afkosha shvis. How difficult, how consequential is it when a person disregards even a sort of secondary isser of shvius? Rashi explains, we're speaking about a fellow who markets peiros shvius, shvius produce, which is not meant to be marketed, meant to be consumed privately, not meant to be commercialized. But that's not the ikar mitzvah of shvius, Rashi says. Rather, it's planting, plowing. This is just sort of a secondary. Nevertheless, even though it's just the dust of shvius, it's a secondary isser. Look how consequential. If one violates it, Adam noisei v'noisim peiros shvius. A person goes ahead and commercializes, buys and sells peiros shvius. You know what's going to happen? Midah k'neged midah, measure for measure. Tosfos says that's how we know we're talking about this violation, because the einish relates to transactions and selling. He becomes desperate, he has to sell his belongings, his house. L'soif moicher es metatlo, ultimately have to sell his belongings out of desperation. Shnama b'shnasa yevel hazoyt toshu b'shalchus asoy. And one pasuk speaks about the yevel releasing the fields, the yevel and the mitzvahs of Yovel, including, leaving the land fallow, uksiv, and right after it says, v'chisim k'ru mimkar mitecho, o'ikonim yadu mitecho, if you'll sell a belonging or buy a belonging. And we're speaking about mobile items. Dovar nikmiat yad, something which you transfer from hand to hand. So that's the consequence. If you disregard the Yisra of Shvius, he can come to the point that he'll have to sell his belongings out of desperation. Lo yirgish. The fellow chose not to pay attention. Rashi says, "Linus dazeya loshav menavera." He didn't take it to heart. He didn't say, "Hold it, one second. What's going on? I thought I was making money. Now suddenly I'm impoverished." So he chose not to take it to heart. Hashem has to come down even harder. Give him another, more direct message. L'soif mechers sedoisa. We'll come to the point that I have to sell his field. Shenemar, as we find it in the next psukim, which speaks about the fellow selling his estate. It's all a chain reaction, starting from the isra that he did, which triggered this whole, chain of consequence. Your brother will be impoverished, sell him from his estate. Now he's not paying attention again. What happens? Another message. Soon the Gemara is going to ask why we switched the reference. We changed it from Lehirgish. In any case, Lehsev Mechaz Beisei. Chas v'shalom, we come to the point that he has to sell his house and nowhere to live. Shnabar v'yishkiyir, yimka beis moishiv yichoyim, that's the next psukim, he'll sell his home. Oh, says the Gemara, maishna hosn b'kama lehirgish. Why is it that the first time around says, well, lehirgish? It didn't enter his mind. And he needed another, message from Hashem. Maishna hocha b'kama lehbasli yad. Here, we change it slightly. Lehbasli yad means, as Rashi explains about 15 lines from the top, mashma shalai ola liboy. It didn't even enter his mind. He's doing something wrong. He's totally justified in his own mind. He's a big tzad. Why that change? In reference, because it's referring to his psychological state. Initially, he's not yet entrenched. So, he didn't heed the message. He didn't take it to heart. But once he gets more entrenched and more habitualized, he built up all the, defense mechanism around him, and he's in his mind, he's totally justified. He's not going to contemplate that he's doing something wrong. A person gets involved in avera and he repeats it. He becomes habitualized. Then it's permitted to him. Permitted? How can you say it's permitted? What made it permitted? In his mind. he views it as something permissible. Look, I'm doing it, it must be fine. Okay, we'll skip over the brackets. Lebas liyada. Okay, the next step is, if he's not paying attention, Ashamoichar has bitel, have to sell his daughter, Shnemachim Gorish bitel lam. Now, the truth is, Va'afagav de bitel ban yenon l'glesa. This pasuk is not mentioned in the context of the other psukim, it's in a different parasha. So why are we putting it into the chain of events? The truth is, because we assume that he did this already, because we speak about a fellow who's lending. We'll see in a minute that item that we had in the bracket that was he's borrowing with interest. That's going to be the next step. So we assume that he sold his daughter first before resorting to loan sharks, to borrowing and with interest, because nicha le'inish. The assumption is a person is more agreeable. The Lisbon brate to sell his daughter for a couple of years as a a helper, rather than borrowing with interest, because there's a benefit to selling his daughter, because ultimately the buyback price diminishes as the years go along, right? As she's serving, as she's working, the buyback price diminishes. It gets deducted as per the years. So it gives him a better chance of regrouping himself and putting him back on his feet. But in terms of borrowing with interest, it just gets worse and worse. It multiplies and multiplies. So if the next psukim speak about borrowing with interest, we assume he already went through the selling daughter stage. And here comes in that gemara that we skipped. He's furthermore not paying attention. Ultimately, he'll have to borrow with interest. And it speaks about ribis. Next, lebas liyada. If he hasn't yet corrected his ways, l'soif moicher is atzmai. He can come to the point that he has to sell himself as a slave. Shenem v'chiyom achachicha, if your brother will be impoverished, imucha benim kar lecha, he'll sell himself to you as a servant. And v'loi lecha, and not just to a yid, a Jewish master, even worse than that, leger, will have to sell himself to a ger. Shenem leger, not only a regular guy, Ligar Toishav. Ligar Toishav is really a guy who's just observing some basic, like Sheva Mitzvah Mnei Noyach or rejects Avodah Zarah. He's not a Yid. You have to work in a Goyisha house. Shenama Ligar Toishav. Furthermore, Mishpach Asker, the family of the Ger, who are Goyim? Zevet Oivet Kechavim. Kshoyim Oila Eker Mishpach Asker. Pasuk adds the word Eker. Who's that? Not just the Ger or his family. It's to the house of worship itself. He won't find an employer except for the Goyisha church. Atzma. Taisa says it's called Eker because the Aker ultimately it's going to be uprooted and destroyed. So we refer to it as Eker. Bottom line, a person finds himself in such a state of destitution, he's selling himself as a slave. It doesn't really bode well for his level of cognizance and seriousness and Avodas Hashem. So bottom line, why are we coming down easy on him, making it more convenient for him to buy himself out, maybe make it more difficult so that he shakes him up and he learns his lesson and he does what he has to do to fix himself up? So he responded like this. True, he's holding very, very far, very far down, but we find that the pasuk restored him, which means to say, Torah says, look, he went through such a difficult experience. Bring him back. Let him regain his standing, have compassion for him. You would think, perhaps, since this fellow took the drastic step and sold himself as a servant to the Goy, to the Avodah Zarah, so maybe just leave him there. Just push the stone after the fellow who falls. Expression. Just leave him there. He's so far gone. Leave him. Leimar. No, says the pasuk. Gulas. Oilam tiyalei ba'yvel yetze. You have to look to redeem him. Get him out of there. Okay. So you meant to have compassion on him and facilitate his release. So that's the more you write. Okay, so try to get him out. But who says that you go with the lesser formula, the lower price? Fine, get him out. But who says we have to be easy when it comes to the amount? Ema gula tiloi, fine. Tiloi litama. to prevent them from, you know, assimilating. But certainly when it comes to determining the rate, perhaps we have to be strict and work with the higher rate. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak. I'll tell you, it's based on a pasuk. So back to the question, right? The original question. We know that by redeeming a sadeh achuza, it's based on the lower rate, because it's linked to the eved, whose buyback rate is also based on the lower formula. The question was, how do we know? Ksiv, here's the pasuk. Im oid rabbis bashan, uksiv imat nisha bashan. So partly they're speaking about how to calculate the buyback rate, depending on how many years are left to the to the Shemitah or to the Eivel, right? So you take the sale price, divide it amongst the years that he was meant to hold on to him, and then you deduct for the years that have passed, right? And that's the buyback amount. Imoid Rabbi is Bashan. Ksivimat Isha Bishan. Many years, less years. Now, what does the pasuk mean? There are bigger years, smaller years. What do you mean? There are bigger years and smaller years. Ella, rather, the pasuk means like this: there's an increase in value. Then you ignore that increase and you base it on the original sale price. Rabbit, there's an increase, and likewise, conversely, in ma'at, if there was a decrease in value, then you base your buyback formula on current value. His value increased, so we ignore the increase, and the buyback rate is based on the initial lower sale price. Suppose he dropped in value, then you base it on the current calculation of the years based on what it's worth now. Who says that's what the pasuk means? The pasuk is simply saying, look, it all depends how many years are left. I'm not talking about increases or decreases. Ve'ema, perhaps the pasuk is simply saying, look, hechad avatarti. So you sold for an eved ivri, which is a six-year stint, right? 7 year goes out. So out of the 6 years, how many years have passed? So the pasuk is addressing two formulas. Ve'ema hechad avatarti paishi arbi. The first pasuk is speaking that there were many years left. Avatarti, he worked for two, leaving us with four. Paishi, how many were left? Arba'i four. Leisiv le arba. Because of Meknosai. So he pays him $4, right? The original price was six, deducted two. So four, because of Meknosai, based on the sale price. Verkadovet arba, paishi tarti. The other pasuk speaking that he already passed through 4 years and it's only 2 years remaining. Leisiv le tarti. So he owes him $2 for the buyback, option. Can be shot up based on the years remaining. That's all. We're not speaking about increase or decrease. In Kenef, if it's only telling us a simple formula as such, why the word ba, the letter ba, should say if there are many years left, or less years left, my ba shonim. That's for a drasha to tell you that if there was an increase in his value, bishonim, in the, during these years that he's there, that his price went up, his rabba kaspa bishonim. If there was an increase in his value during those years, then you waste based on the original price. We ignore the increase. Likewise, if his value dropped during those years, then we base it on the calculation based on the current situation. Hence, we know that in fact the buyback rate of the Eved Ivri is based on the lower amount, whichever it is, the original or the current. Amar Rav Yosef, wow, this is great. Rav Shinner of Nachman, on the Kroik of Sinai, he discovered the true meaning of this psukim, just as it was taught at Har Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu. So he had apparently a Kabbalah from his Rebbe. This was the correct pshat. Hence, we discovered the source for the offering of the lower formula, lower rate, and we extend that to Sadeh Chuzah as well, based on Ekzer Rishon. Now, this field buyback option is only if you have access to money. You can't borrow, you can't sell another field to facilitate this buyback, and you have to buy back all at once. How do we know that there are all these limitations? Which means he himself found access to money. Yeah, that's my. He can't borrow to be goyel. It's not meant to be bought back. A Torah is accommodating a fellow who has money, who can buy it back. and then you know it's meant to be bought back. But to go borrow, no, it's out of your realm, you're not meant to. Likewise, umatzo means pratla matzo. Matzo means he discovered money. As opposed to matzo, he already had a field. At the time that he sold his field, he had another field. And it's just that now he decided he wants to sell that field to buy back this field. That's not called umatzo. Right? Matzah means he discovered money. But here was matzah. It was there all along. That option was there all along. Right? He had two fields to begin with. He sold one. The closer, you know, the one closer to town. He didn't have to because he sold the other one. Right? He chose to do it. Now he wants to, he has second thoughts. He wants to sell the other one to buy. That option was there all along. Shleim kebarochik, v'igol b'kar, he can't sell the further one to buy the closer one. Barav v'igol, you have to sell the worst one to buy the better one. Kadegu l'asai, teaches us, kadegu l'ogayla. You can only do it as a one-time package to buy back the whole field at once. V'enigol chatzon, rather than piecemeal. Says the Gemara, l'meim of the matzah. So you mean that the word matzah means hashta mashma, was discovered now? It's a new development. He found money. As opposed to something which was pre-existing, Rabbeinu have a kasha from a brisa and Maseches Makis, where it seems that the word of matzah is just the opposite. Matzah means it was there all along. Umatzah starts by the pasuk where a fellow accidentally killed somebody. So he was sitting in the forest, hacking away at the tree, and it went flying, and it killed somebody. What happens, since it was accidental, he'll go to Golos, he'll go run away to the city of refuge. And there it says, Umatzah's Reyu. It encountered this friend that killed him. From the word of Matzah, we learn, Prat L'mamseh Tzatzmai. As opposed to a case where the victim made himself available after the axe flew off the handle. So he was hacking, it flew off, and then the person stuck his head out the window. Then he's not liable to galus. Mikan Amru Leza, based on this, Leza teaches us, if the fellow stuck his head out the window after the stone left the thrower's hand, so the act had already transpired, and then the victim made himself available. Pat, if he hit him, Pater is Pater from galus. Why? Almas, apparently, the word matzah means, midi de ise mikara mashma. Matzah means it was there all along. Not that it's a newly developed situation. So only if the fellow was standing there all along, and then the stone was flung, then the axe was flung. In contrast to our sugya, where umatzah is being learned just the opposite. Umatzah means that it's a new discovery, a new development, as opposed to something which was there all along. Amarava, yeah, it depends on the context. It can go both ways. The word of matzah can have two definitions. New development, new discovery, or it can mean something all along. Hacham and Yana, over here it's based on the context in the psukim. Vacham and Yana, over there as well. Hachadim and Yisiga Yada. Here the word of matzah is stated in close proximity to Yisiga Yada. Yadai. In fact, the pasuk reads like this. Pasuk says, V'ish ki lo yilei goyel v'yisiga yada matzah. So it's the next word. Now, Sigi Yoda means he discovered funds. It's a new thing. Ma Sigi Yoda Dash, just like the word Sigi Yoda means. It's a new development. How do we know that? Rashi brings because the Pasuk clearly says he's selling the field because he has no money. So he discovered his money now. Af Matzah Nami Dash. Likewise, the word Matzah means a new discovery. As opposed to something which was there all along. Vachadu Mediyar. And likewise, when it comes to accidental killing, it's compared to the forest, which is discussed in that Pasuk. So it's all about context. My yard, mostly isimikor, just like the forest, is a pre-existing condition. It was there all along. Af matzah, mostly isimikor. Likewise, the word matzah means that the victim was there all along, as opposed to showing up midway. So all these limitations only apply to buying back from a private buyer. It has to be your money, buy back at once, funds that you've just discovered. Ube Hegdish, in contrast to buying it back from a Hegdish, We don't have all these limitations. How do we know it's different? The Tanur Rabbanim, Gol Yigal. It's a duplicate Lashon. Melamed to teach us in any which way. Shaloi v'goyel, we can borrow to buy back. V'goyel chatzoin, buy back piecemeal. Om Rav Shimon, is Rav Shimon speaking. Matam, why is Hegdash different? Rav Shimon is known to expound on the reasoning behind the halachas and apply the halachas accordingly. He says like this, because we find that when you buy back from a private buyer, really, you have the upper hand in other matters. We find when a person sells his field, he has a big advantage, the seller does. Ultimately, he will get it back. Come Yevil. Sheim higia Yevil nigla, if come Yevil, it wasn't bought back, chazeres l'bayim, reverts to the owner. Yevil. So since he has that, you know, long-term advantage, so in the short term, Torah doesn't give him the extra benefits, the extra perks. Hura kaychay, he has it more difficult to buy it back in the interim. Shein alevi v'goyel, v'negol chatzoin, he can't borrow, he can't do it partway. Because he really has that greatest advantage. Ultimately, he'll get it back. Aval magdash de'achuza, but a person who donates his de'achuza, in the long term, he's going to lose it. Hoyel shura kaychay, since he's at a great disadvantage in the long term. Shim higia yevul nigla. Imagine yevul comes and nobody he didn't take it back. That's it. He loses it for good. Yaitzel gehanim, it goes to the kayanim. And therefore, the Torah makes it easier for him to buy it back, whichever way. Yafa koychay, shaloi vevegoyel. He can borrow if he needs to. Vegoyel chatzoyin and buy back even part of it. To enter the next time. In fact, we have a machlekes tanoim on this. Between Rav Shimon, who says that Hegdish does not have these limitations, whereas the Chacham say he has the same rules as buying back from a private person. Tani Chada, we have one Braisa, Loi V'Vegoyel, V'Goyel Chatzoin. Rashi says we're speaking about a Magdish, right? He donated his field, you can borrow to obtain funds, you can buy it back part way. Tani Idach, that's Rav Shimon speaking, Tani Idach, we have another Braisa. No! The Chacham is speaking, Ein Loi V'Vegoyel, V'Goyel Chatzoin, you can't borrow, you can't do it halfway. And like Rashi, the answer is, it's a machlokes tanaim. Ha Rabbanan. The second price is the Rabbanan. But Reb Shimon, the first price is Reb Shimon. Then it comes to a Magdish. His options are unlimited. Okay, let's go back and do a quick Chazara. Fellow sold his de'achuza. He'd like to buy it back. He has the option of doing so. Based on, you know, what kind of rate. So, again, we take the sale price, divide it, split it based on the years remaining to Yael, which is the amount of time that he would have had it. And then we deduct for the years that have already passed under his possession. And that's what the seller has to refund him. And the question is, let's say there was a fluctuation in value, or let's say there were two sales. There was the initial sale, now it was flipped to another buyer. So we go Lekula, that's based on the connection to the Eved Ivri. We also go Lekula despite the whole background which led to his unfortunate state. We have to rachmanos on him, and we come down easy on him to make it to facilitate his release. In contrast to the hedyot, where you have all kinds of limitations, Reb Shimon says by hegdish, you're free to buy it back pretty much in any which way you choose. All the best to you, and that's b'chorav.